Today's Mass is being offered to repose the soul of Ernesto Romero, Steve Flores, and Granfe Rivera. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we celebrate the feast of St. Andrew. What's special about St. Andrew is that he was the first called. That's a great distinction, right? To be the first person called by Jesus Christ, who is God, to follow him. I'm sure that's something that if you were the first person to be called, the first thing in your mind might be to say to everybody else who was called, you know, he's God. He can do everything in whatever order he wants. Remember, he chose me first. But did St. Andrew ever do that? Unlikely. Because who did Andrew first tell about the gospel? Who did he first tell about the Christ? He is here. Do you recall? That's right, his brother. And what did Christ say about his brother? Tu es Petrus. You are Peter. You are this rock. I'm going to build my church on you. You're the one who I give the keys to. It was clear that although Andrew was chosen first, that in some other way, God favored his brother. That's why Peter is Prince of the Apostles and the Pope. For many of us, if we were put aside in so many ways, if we were brushed off, if we had early honors, we'd say, why, Lord? Why, Lord? Why is he favored and I'm not? Not Andrew. Not Andrew. Andrew plays an incredibly minor role in all the gospel accounts. All you can find of his work is that one time he says, Lord, I've got some fish over here too. Just pointing something out when our Lord does the multiplication miracle. Seemingly, the rest of the gospel, he is silent. And yet he's not silent the whole of his life. Remember, the apostles, they drew lots. They were trusting in God. Where do you want me to go? 12 of us who are here, which direction do you want each of us to go in to spread the gospel? Andrew drew the great lucky lot to be sent to various places. He went down to Ethiopia for a short period of time, but then spent the rest of his time in Achaia, in Greece, in the Peloponnesian area of Greece. I myself have been to the place where he met his final testament of faith, a great place, Holy Patros. Spent about 2 days there praying. Not far off the coast is where the great battle of Lepanto was fought, that which we celebrate in our liturgical feast on October the 7th, Feast of Our Lady, who gives victory through the rosary when it's prayed. St. Andrew was this incredible figure who the Lord raised up to go and do a great many number of things. If I could go through the Golden Legend, which is this great, beautiful work by Viragine, which goes through so beautifully so many great gifts that each one of the saints has for us in the church going through the liturgical year. He talks about a time when he began his missionary work in Ethiopia, when he quenched a fire that was set by some parents who wanted to get their child back from St. Andrew so that he wouldn't continue to help him to spread the gospel. They wanted to keep him in pagan ways. How that was quenched. A woman who was pregnant, who was in a difficult pregnancy, and at the prayers of St. Andrew, she delivered rightly. A man who was stuck in the sin of lechery. Though he was an old man, how at the word of St. Andrew, that sin was never visited upon him again, nor temptation toward it. Even a young man who was accused of contrary to nature relations within his own family, how he was proven to be innocent thereof by his work. So that he cast out 7 devils from those who were in Nice in France, how he rescued a strangled youth, how he resurrected 40 men who were drowned, 40 men who were drowned, and many other things. But to share with you his final testament, which I think shows you something about the difference between he and his brother. His brother's the one who had all the power. St. Peter had all the power. St. Peter is the one who was set in front of everybody. St. Peter was the leader. St. Andrew was first called. And after he was first called, he ran first to tell the one who would be Pope, ran first to share that joy. We see that zealotry in the end of St. Andrew. I'll just read from you a very small section of the account of his great martyrdom. He was there speaking to the man who was the procurator, the one who was in charge, the governor, who was wanting him just to pinch a little bit of incense, so that he wouldn't have to kill him, wouldn't have to murder, wouldn't have to end his life through martyrdom here. This is just a couple sentences on it. It says, and taking the place of judgment seat, the governor Aegeus called upon Andrew to sacrifice to idols, saying, if you refuse to obey me, I shall have you hung upon the cross which you so often boast about. And he threatened him with these and other torments. Yet the apostle St. Andrew responded, quote, make them the worst you can think of. The more bravely I bear suffering in Christ's name, the more acceptable I shall be to my king. The governor Aegeus commanded 21 men to seize him, then to flog him, and then to bind him hand and foot to a cross fashioned in the shape of an X. Skipping a little bit further, it says, Andrew, knowing that the people wanted to rescue him from the cross, uttered this prayer from the cross aloud, saying, quote, Lord, do not let me come down alive. It is time for you to entrust my body into the earth. You entrusted it to me, and I borne it so long and watched over it and worked so hard. And now I wish to be discharged of this bodily obedience. I think of how I have labored to carry its weight, to control its unruliness, to support its weakness, to compel its slow responses. You know, O Lord, how often I have struggled, it has struggled to draw me away from the purity of contemplation and to awaken me from the repose of that most sweet stillness of prayer, and how many and how grave pains it has inflicted upon me. O most kind God, my Father, I give back what you entrusted to me, thirsting as I am to come freely to you, the inexhaustible source of life and of joy. It says, as Andrew finished this prayer, a dazzling light shone out of heaven and enveloped him for the space of half an hour, hiding him from sight. And as that light faded, he breathed his last. Saint Maximilia, this governor, Aegeus' wife, took away the body of this holy apostle and gave it an honorable burial, for she recognized he was a holy man, a man of God. But Aegeus, before he even ever got back to his house, this wicked governor was seized by a demon and died right there in the street, with the entirety of that same crowd looking on. What marvels the Lord worked in this man. He may have been one who was the first called and could have greatly yielded that over others, saying, God chose me first. But he quickly told his brother and allowed his brother to take that high place because that's what the Lord called. These two men, maybe you recall, both of them testifying to the Lord with their lives. Both of them were hung upon a cross, just like Christ. But if you recall the story well, St. Peter ran away from his martyrdom. He didn't wish to die for Christ, but rather sought to flee Rome so that he could preserve his life. Christ had to call him back in, saying, will I have to go back and be crucified again? Peter realized that it was he who should be crucified, not the Lord again, so he did go back. St. Andrew did not run in the least bit. That's why he's often called St. Andrew of the Cross, because he preached the suffering of Christ upon the cross and how that was his only desire. Zealous for the cross, zealous for the torments which it had, zealous to be freed of this body and all its distractions so that he could finally discharge his duty and be with God forever. There's a reason why God called Andrew first. It's because of his zeal. And there's a reason why the Lord knew that calling him first would not be a cause of dissension among the apostles or among these brothers, but that Andrew being called first was not worried about earthly powers or attachments, but he was worried about doing what was right, most honorably and most strongly, as best as he could. Those are things which you and I can gain from St. Andrew. To recognize our place. To recognize that we were called at a time, and it doesn't matter whether that was before or after somebody else. To recognize where our Lord is calling us, and that the work that he has for us does have an end. And maybe we shouldn't be so solicitous to fight against its end, but rather freely allow our Lord to take us when it pleases him to do so. The only way you and I can do so is if we know we've discharged the duty that God has given us well, offering the best we can, what our Lord has given us, to be received back to him. Just as it says so constantly within the lives of the saints, within the traditional Mass, where our Lord says, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the reward which I have prepared for you from the foundation of the world. That's all that St. Andrew wished to hear. And so we know that because he had discharged his duty well, it's exactly what words were spoken. And when you and I discharge our duties well, to the best of our ability, whenever it is that our Lord called us into his service and whenever he calls us from it, we too can hear the same things if we trust in him, as so did our saint, St. Andrew, the man of the cross, he who was zealous for eternal life and disparaged that life which ended in the dust. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.